Are you tuning in to the KTR Show?
What?
Are you?
What?
Tune in to the KTR Show Monday nights from 7 to 9 on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Oh, it's true. It's KTR.
You're listening to ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. It's not just sports. It's a way of life.
Chicagoland Sports Radio Sports Update.
At 7 o'clock, I'm Kevin Tregoning with your Chicagoland Sports Radio. With your ChicagolandSportsRadio.com update brought to you by the Illinois Media School. For more information on careers and broadcasting, go to beonair.com. After the Bulls' 121-108 victory over the 76ers, they are preparing to face Mr. Triple-Double, Russell Westbrook, and the Thunder on Wednesday. Tip-off is at 8:30 on ESPN. Houston Astros were awarded the top 2 2017 draft picks and $2 million by the St. Louis Cardinals as punishment for the hacking scandal. Former Chicago Cub catcher David Ross will be talking baseball as he is signed with ESPN to be an analyst. San Francisco 49ers have hired John Lynch to be the team's general manager and has signed a six-year deal with the team. And the Hawks are traveling to California to face the San Jose Sharks. Puck drops at 9:30 on Tuesday night. This update was also brought to you by the Windy City Bulls. The next home game broadcast will be on SportsTownChicago.com February 7th when the Bulls take on the Grand Rapids Drive at 7 p.m. Tickets start at just $10. Visit WindyCityBulls.com for more details. I'm Kevin Tregoning, and you're listening to ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. It's not just sports, it's a way of life.
Live from Chicago, it's the K-Trey Show.
You can put it on the board! Yeah!
Welcome, this is the K-Trey Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. I'm Kevin Tregoning. You can check me out on Facebook and Twitter at Kevin Tregoning, T-R-E-G-O-N-I-N-G. I'm alongside Mr. Matt Ward. Where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at WarriorMW23. You can also find me running the K-Trey Show Twitter at K-Trey Show. You can find me on Facebook at Franchise Matt Ward.
And we are also joined by A.J. Williams.
Where
can they find you at, sir?
Well, they can find me at Williams Media Group. LLC.com, that's my page. Or sometimes I'm with the fan club, it's on CRS. So hey, that's check me out.
All right. So lots of stuff has happened. Obviously we're on here once a week, so lots to cover here week by week. The Super Bowl is Sunday, so we're gonna be talking a lot of that. The Royal Rumble was last night. We have a new Royal Rumble winner, somebody who's gonna headline WrestleMania. We'll get into that later. Also the NXT TakeOver event the night before, so we're also gonna get into that. Chicago Bulls are quite the experience. We're going to also dive into that. But first, like I said before, we're going to get into our Super Bowl coverage. So this Sunday, we got the Atlanta Falcons going up against the New England Patriots, as everyone knows by now at this point. Before we go further, who do you guys got? Matt Ward, who is your pick a week later after we talked about this, obviously, last week?
I'm taking the Last Jedi, the Atlanta Falcons, going up against the Evil Empire, that is the New England Patriots.
I agree. I also got the Falcons. Mr. Williams, you are new to this. We don't know who your pick is. Who is your pick?
Oh, I'm with the Falcons. I took the Falcons over Paulie and them on the fan club. Yeah, they fell flat.
Me and AJ took the Falcons over the Packers on the fans' corner.
Well, I mean, we talked about this last week. I mean, it really is. Like, who is... It's almost like we're going to get into WrestleMania talk later, right? And it's like, who did Hulk Hogan go up against like every year? You know, it's like the Patriots, you know? Who's the guy who's going to knock off the Patriots this year? And this year it could be Matt Ryan. At least we're hoping for that. I mean, I mentioned it last week. I think the big X factor going into this game is Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan has never been in the Super Bowl. Dan Quinn's been there. He was obviously a part of that those Seahawks teams as a coordinator, but... if Matt Ryan has a bad game, you know, this could be a long game for the Atlanta Falcons.
I like the way he moves around. That Patriot guy doesn't really move. He reminds me of the old school Bradshaw and the Cowboys guy. But you know, this is a new age, man. We like somebody moving in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, man, he was running, man. That was a good game, man. He moved around, man. That, mm-hmm. I liked that. He made them numbers.
Yeah, and throughout the whole postseason, thus far that I can say, they've looked good. I mean, that team, those first couple games going into the Georgia Dome, I mean, that crowd was crazy. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You talk about going to Foxborough and any of those places, Atlanta was just as buzzed as everyone else.
Well, even if they had lost, you came and saw a great game,
mm-hmm.
competition.
Mm-hmm.
When they come in there to gladiate, they gladiate.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're pretty strong all the way down the team. They don't really have a big glaring weakness. A lot of people say their defense, but their defense has looked pretty good in the postseason so far.
Pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. Tight, you know.
I mean, one thing I printed out going into this show today is the injury report, right?
All right.
We all picked Atlanta. So Atlanta really doesn't have too many injuries, all right? You're looking at Julio Jones, who has, a toe injury, nothing that significant. He's still practicing. Alex Mack didn't practice this week, their center. But I think he should be ready to go to the game, ready to go at game time. But looking at the Patriots, they have a lot of injuries here. Danny Amendola with an ankle, tight end. Martellus Bennett with a knee. And obviously Gronk, from all I've seen, won't be playing. So Martellus Bennett's going to be relied on even that much more. But knee injury, you know, that's not good. If he goes down, I don't know who's after him. But running back Brandon Bolden, obviously they have other running backs, so that's not that significant. Safety Nate Ebner. Kicker Steven Gostkowski. Linebacker Dante Hightower. Receiver Chris Hogan, who, of course, had that big game in the championship game. Receiver Malcolm Mitchell and defensive end Jabal Sherd. Yeah, that's all of New England, though. Two guys versus what, like 10?
10.
So
that sounds like a Bears injury report.
I mean, it does. And, you know, that's something that could also play into Atlanta's favor, all those injuries.
Oh, yeah, hey. Take it as a good, man, as they can get it.
Exactly.
People don't think if the Falcons defense could get to New England like they did Green Bay, that's going to be a major key right there.
Exactly. And, I mean, like I was saying before, top to bottom, Atlanta looks pretty good. I mean, their offense is way better than New England. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. But it all depends on who shows up. Obviously, New England's been there, you know, 5-6 times. I mean, a lot of those guys have won rings before. But
and that's what gets you sometimes. You think, well, I've been here before. I got it. We got this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got this all right. You better forget about it, huh?
And you think you got it because the other team's never been there before.
Right.
You know, like, okay, we've been here a bunch of times. This team, it's like a bunch of rookies you're playing or something.
Right.
But
okay. Pie, y'all. Lights out.
But, yeah, so Atlanta's going to hopefully they're ready for this. I mean, like I said, a lot of those guys haven't been here before. Julio Jones really hasn't been that far in the postseason. He's been, I think, with Atlanta's entire career. But
actually, Matt Ryan has been to a Super Bowl.
Go on.
Oh, wait, no. They lost in the conference championship game to the 49ers.
I mean, they've been in the playoffs many times.
The year of the Beyonce blackout at the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Probably she messed that up for him. And she was crying.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Hey, whatever. You know.
The blackout that went from San Francisco winning to the other Harbaugh's Ravens coming back and winning it.
The Harbaugh.
Yep.
Yeah, it was Ray Lewis's last year. I mean, I remember that very vividly. Ray Lewis's final year. I had the Ravens to win that game. I mean, that defense was phenomenal, even though I think they had a lot of injuries. I think Terrell Suggs had an injury. It was like two guys like playing with casts on their arms. You know, I know Ray Lewis couldn't do a whole lot. He, you know, he had an arm injury as well. But I think this Super Bowl is going to be fantastic. I mean, both those championship games were kind of snoozers. So I'm hoping that this Super Bowl lives up to the expectations.
Or this could be a snoozer like Seattle and Denver and New York.
You're right. Yeah, I remember that.
Everybody thought that Denver was going to beat Seattle. What?
Oh, yeah.
Did Seattle do come right out?
You know, they were just talking about that on the radio on the way here. I don't know if you remember. First snap of the game, I think it went over Peyton Manning's head.
Yeah.
Like, it was a bad start to that. And then, what, you start, what, second and 23 or something,
right,
you know, to start the Super Bowl? That's terrible. It's not like the Bears when you get start up 7-0.
But sometimes that helps the drama. It builds and builds, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think this is going to be a great game. It's going to – whoever wins, whoever loses, the fans is going to get a great – competitive entertainment extravaganza. It's mm-hmm. going to be huge.
And, I mean, think of just all the narratives. I mean, even on both sides. Even if the Patriots win in a blowout, you know, all the talk of, you know, Roger Goodell having to hand over the trophy after all the Deflategate stuff to Tom Brady.
Well, you know what?
And probably an MVP.
If it is a blowout, it's going to be on some key plays. If the blowout comes, if it's 49-10, those scores, them 49 points they get, they're going to have to really earn it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to come easy. Now, when you say a blowout, they won 49-10. But if you break it down and look at the plays,
mm-hmm.
was it somebody tripped over the shoestring, somebody bumped into each other,
yeah.
and a guy ran 80 yards? No. If it's a true play, I like to see a guy do, Jerry Rice and beat the guy. Hey, mm-hmm. it happens.
Yeah,
not just, Jerry Rice beats a 500-pound linebacker that runs at 8'8 for the 40. Well, he was supposed to get him. Come on. But if he's out there with a guy that's on him, that's spectacular. That's football.
Yeah.
Somebody got to get beat.
Yeah, it's like you see a guy fall down, and it's like, okay, well, if that guy didn't fall down, he would have got him. Or if you see, like, in the conference championship game, Julio Jones making a great catch, shoving two guys to the ground and then getting in the end zone.
Hey,
you know,
he came up. That was a spectacular play.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't bowl him over. He had to do something that he earned that.
Exactly.
So, hey, that's – you get that. You get your popcorn and your beer and your hot dogs, and it was worth it. That's what we want to see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to see some garbage where, you know, halftime it's, you know, 30-something to nothing. Okay? I mean, it's one thing if it's – okay, it's close at halftime, and then, you know, they just couldn't catch up. And then, you know, a couple three and outs, and then, okay – you know, it just gets out of hand towards the end.
Oh,
where it's, okay, guys, stop caring. And the score really wasn't that bad of a game.
I'm fine with that. Like they're playing on the sandlot or something. No,
mm-hmm.
they go there and play some good ball the way Falcons been playing and Patriots are playing. I think we're going to get a good event.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we look. That's all we can expect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, show you care, okay? I mean,
right.
You're in the Super Bowl. Don't go out there and, okay, all right, we're already down 14-0, and that's it. You see guys moping and whatnot, and then it becomes a blowout.
My fingernail hurts. I want to get out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not Vegas. I don't have no money down there, so I don't care. I just want to see a good athletic event.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see. That's it.
And it's kind of like when they played when Atlanta played Green Bay. You know, Green Bay was down. They kept trying to come back. I mean, that could have been a blowout, too. I mean, well, it kind of was, but it would have been a closer game if Atlanta didn't keep the foot on the gas. Well, but Atlanta kept going. Every time Green Bay would score, Atlanta would score again. And
what made that game so – it was a blowout, but what made it exciting, no one thought that Green Bay was going to go down like that.
No.
That's what made it – because you still on your edge of your couch saying Green Bay is going to come back any moment.
Mm-hmm.
Here it comes, boom, got shut down. Here it comes, boom. Well, that's what you want, even if they get shut down. But you on your edge just like you watching you watching that thriller.
Yeah, and I mean, it almost happened. Green Bay kept driving the field. They would score, but Atlanta just kept coming. They just kept going. You wanted to see, you know, how that would play out. You wanted to see if Atlanta could keep it going. And so far, like I said before, they've been able to do it.
Right.
So we hope it continues into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we got some breaking Bears news.
What do you got?
From our guest from time to time, Aaron Lemming. Bears will only be returning two of their offensive assistants, QB coach Dave Ragone and tight end coach Frank Smith.
That's interesting because I believe they just got a new running back coach because I think he left.
And
he also said,
worth noting, Curtis Johnson's contract was up with the team. No telling who made the decision to part ways.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. We're going to have to go to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our football talk. This is the K-Tray Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Oh, Windy City! Trick it in.
You're listening to the K-Tray Show on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com and the TuneIn app. If you don't,
stupid idiot.
And what do you know? We got a couple of haters.
You just made the list.
All that and more. Join us Mondays from 7 to 9 on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com and the TuneIn app.
Monday?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. We're back. This is the K-Trey Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 773-966-2494. We're going to continue our football conversation here as we kind of preview this Super Bowl.
Yeah, but first we got some breaking WNBA news.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. Elena Deladon just got traded to the Washington Mystics.
Wow. Do you guys know about that? They were talking about that on the radio the other day before we get into more football talk here. Apparently she wanted to be, I think she has like Lyme disease or something. She wants to be closer to like her helpers or something like that. And like, she did not want to play for the Sky anymore. Like, I did not know it was like that. She was like sitting out and refusing to play. And I didn't know anything about that. And that's one of the probably, I would think one of the brightest stars to ever play for the Chicago Sky.
Yeah. Now she's in with the Washington Mystics.
Yeah. And that's what they said, when they, were reporting on it, that she really wanted to get traded to the Mystic, or the Mystic were interested or something like that.
You know what? It's all a win for the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
They can transfer them and trade them. They building, making it powerful. Hey, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I like to see it, man. Everybody, you know, and no, I know, emotional stuff. Let's get it rolling.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's one of the, I guess, one of the bigger stars in the WNBA in general. I'm not sure if she's a former MVP or anything like that, but
she's all,
at least an All-Star or something like
all
that.
All WNBA, she's a former MVP.
She is an MVP? Okay.
She won it last year.
Okay.
Last season.
I always thought that was weird. I mean, especially like a, I don't want to say it's a smaller sport, but like, it's even the same thing with like the Chicago Fire. The Chicago Fire.
Smaller league.
Yeah, smaller league, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
When you have the MVP in this town, to not have like the type of
buzz.
The type of buzz around it. Exactly. I mean, Deladon, I forget the guy's first name, McGee. I think he was, he played for the Fire a couple of years ago. He was the MVP of the
league. Yeah.
And I don't even know the guy's first name. He's a former MVP recently. You know, like, it's weird that they don't get the type of support.
Well, it's going to take conscientious media to bring it together. And you know, it's going to be a variable thing, because, you know, sometimes it all ends down. If the money's not there, you really can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but somehow you got to do collaborations, partnerships, and get that word out through the media to make the buzz.
Mm-hmm.
So it's growing, and we're going to have to take, you know, it's a 12-step program, but we'll get there. You know, IMS, I think, is going to come around, and more of these students come in and grab a hold. I'm going to do some women's content shows. So, hey, it's going to grow.
Yeah, I know. So. And I know that, what do they have? I think they have the Flames women's basketball on here or something like that. I know they have some type of
They do the UIC.
UIC, that's right.
Yeah, play-by-play. So, yeah, it's creeping in, and it's going to explode. Just got to keep going. Don't lose the momentum. So, hey, it's going to grow.
And that's what I was saying before. With all the networks that they have now, like we were talking before, the NFL Network, the Big Ten Network, they have all these networks that they could almost constantly have that type of programming on there, whether it's, you know, constant women's basketball games or, you know, a post-game show, or, you know, however they would want to construct that.
Well, ESPN took a big step. They have the ESPNW, so hey, it's going to catch fire.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It just keeps extending, because I mean, obviously start out with just ESPN, but then you go to ESPN2, ESPN College, and then, you know, it goes further and further and further to where everyone gets that type of notoriety that they probably should already have. All right, so Super Bowl is this Sunday. So what else do you guys look forward to for a Super Bowl besides the actual game? I know some people care about the halftime show, Lady Gaga this year. That doesn't really do anything for me unless the
good commercials.
Oh, yeah, good commercials.
Beer.
Oh yeah. Hey, those beer commercials are funny typically. All right. Typically those are the ones that steal the show.
Yeah. I think beer and the Tide commercials. I think they're gonna be
Tide commercials are good. I know Doritos usually comes out with a good commercial.
How can I forget Doritos?
You know, Pepsi will have something, Coke will have something, Mountain Dew, you know, they'll all kinda have their commercial. Whether it'll be funny or not, we'll see, but
yeah.
And then I've always been a big fan of the movie previews. They always have, like, some brand new – yeah, everybody's watching.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the new thing that's not quite out yet, that's not quite before every movie, you know, we'll see that. So, well, there'll be a lot to see, I'm sure, whether the game's a blowout or not.
51, man, 51. I can relate to that, being 53. So, the Super Bowl started a couple years after I was born. So, hey, when I watch the Super Bowl, I know, oh, man, I'm another year old.
What's the first one that you remember?
Well, I think I remember in the 70s.
Yeah.
Maybe about 72. And I didn't really watch it. I just remember hearing it, Super Bowl. What's a bowl that's super? What's a bowl that's super? Oh, it's football. Oh, okay. Yeah, 72, I was about 8.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, I remember that one. That was number probably just 20-something by then. Yeah, I'm kind of old, guy.
Yeah.
It is what it is, huh?
It's going to happen to all of us, man. I'll be having these conversations eventually, too.
Hey.
I'm the big 27.
Oh, wow, man. I wish I could go. My daughter's that age. Wow. But hey,
you're older than me too, aren't you?
Yeah.
But just think, when you get my age, you're gonna be a superstar.
Yeah, I know, right?
You'll be here, man. You'll be running your own sports network. You'll be talking to a youngster, right? Hey, I remember that, you know. I'll make you a star overnight, son.
I remember we were talking in that little room that one time.
IMS, baby.
IMS, those were the days. I remember this is a little school and it'll be a big university one day or something. Right. We'll all talk about our minor league days. Yeah, it should be a great game, though. I mean, the way they've built that up over the years.
So what do you like about it, Cap? Trey? What, you know, you a young guy. You twitting, social, and all that. No. So I guess you'd be doing that while you eating Doritos and chili dogs, stuff all on your screen.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, don't
play Y2K in the middle of it. You guys, young guys are extreme, man. I don't even have that. I can't even pay attention to one thing. Y'all doing 5 different things at once, man.
No way.
You probably got a Super Bowl app, all right, that you play in the game, John Madden, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if they had their own little app.
Oh, man, you don't have it?
No, I will say this. I'm not a big Madden fan. Never really.
What?
How do I say this without sounding too stupid? It's too complicated for me.
Oh, man.
I mean, you got to, like, read the defense, and you got to do all this, and I'm like, I just want to go get the quarterback, man. I don't want to have to, oh, he's going to run this, so I got to change the whole play. Like,
hey, man, I hear guys on the train, man, talking out their strategy, man. I'm like, man, you guys sound
people
like you crazy, man.
Ridiculous.
You're talking to yourself.
The Madden game became a fixture of the Super Bowl weekend because – they do a tournament every year.
It used to be on television.
They're live streaming on Facebook Live.
That's probably where it's at now. But it used to be on ESPN. I used to watch it, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
They would have two guys go, and if you lost, you were gone. They'd have like a bus, and it was like an elimination tournament. And they would put two guys in a room. They're like, all right, who's coming back on? And each guy would like have a representative from the team that would go and like play Madden with like somebody from the Bears, and like he would give him his jersey after he beat him, and he would be like the representative from the Bears. It was cool. But, yeah, that's never been my thing. I remember I got into, like, a league where it was, like, every person had a team and you would have to, like, call the guy and you would have to, like, play him live. Those guys were insane. They'd want me to play, like, 5 games a day. I'm like, dude, I'm at work. Like, I can't just, like, drop it all and go play a game.
Do it, man, under your desk, man. Do it.
That's the way
those guys are, Cav, come on, Cav.
That's the way those guys are, though.
My boss is standing right over my shoulder, guys. I got to cut this call. Click.
Yeah, I know,
Cav!
Right? It's completely ridiculous.
Inboxing you. Cav, we need you.
That's the way those games are, man. And I would not be surprised at some point during the game it's referenced in some way, whether it's a commercial, whether it's the guy who won the competition or something. You know, it's all intertwined. The NFL is like a mega monster, man. It makes so much money.
And
it's
social
stupid.
Media is taking it to another level.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if they doing, what's the game they walk around? They had the game that, you know, people was walking around.
Pokemon Go.
Yeah, Pokemon Go. You know they're going to have some Superman Go. You know, they got to have it, man. They got to have it. Super Bowl Go with some Mountain Dew. Everybody's hyped up.
Yeah. Mountain Dew will pay for it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Yeah, that should be great, though. Definitely something I'm looking forward to. We're going to get into a little Hawks talk here when we come back. I gotta do a quick
Super
update.
Sunday, huh?
Yep.
Nobody be thinking about Jesus then, huh?
Hey, you got church in the morning.
They be praying, though.
The game's not on until like 8. Hey, everybody can go to church. No excuses. All right. I understand the excuse for Monday. What? Everybody's not going to be at work on Monday. But...
Hangover. Mad.
I don't know if you guys remember last year.
Put the fist through the wall, hand swole. Kicked the dog. Oh, man, I didn't mean.
I broke my hand. I can't go to work.
Hey.
We had the big snowstorm last year.
Oh, yeah. Did we?
Yeah. I remember they had to, like, push my car leaving my buddy's house. We had to get, like, a running start because my car kept getting stuck on the snow. It was, like, snowing, like, all day.
Wow.
Is that right?
See how you forget stuff?
I'm trying to think that's right. Yeah, that's right. I don't think it was 2 years ago. I think it was last year, wasn't it?
What?
The big snowstorm?
Yeah.
I think it was last year. I'm getting my ears confused now. All right, we're going to go to a quick update. When we get back, we're going to get into a little Hawks talk before we get to our other winter sport, talk about the Chicago Bulls, who are...
Woohoo!
Oh, man, it's like watching the circus. All right.
I got a little news on what our Bulls management is doing right now.
Oh, man. Rondo, Butler. Oh, man.
We got lots to talk
Peyton
about.
Peyton Place,
that.
Huh? Oh, my God.
All right, we'll be right back. This is K-Trey Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Chicagoland Sports Radio Sports Update.
At 7:30, I'm Kevin Trigoning with your ChicagolandSportsRadio.com update brought to you by the Illinois Media School. For more information on careers in broadcasting, go to beonair.com. After the Bulls' 121-108 victory over the 76ers, they are planning to face Mr. Triple-Double, Russell Westbrook, and the Thunder on Wednesday night. Tip-off is at 8:30. Currently, however, the Philadelphia 76ers are about to hold off the Sacramento Kings with about 10 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Miami Heat are up 56-50. That's about at halftime, playing against the Brooklyn Nets. Minnesota Timberwolves are up 26-23 on the Orlando Magic. That's in the first period. Detroit Pistons are up 21-17 on the Boston Celtics. That's about 3 minutes left in the first period. And later on tonight, you have the Cleveland Cavaliers playing the Dallas Mavericks and the Memphis Grizzlies going against the Phoenix Suns. The Houston Astros were awarded the top two 2017 draft picks and $2 million by the St. Louis Cardinals as punishment for the hacking scandal. Former Chicago Cubs catcher David Ross will be talking baseball as he signs with ESPN to be an analyst. San Francisco 49ers have hired John Lynch to be the team's general manager and has been signed to a six-year deal. And the Hawks are traveling to California to face the San Jose Sharks puck drops at 9:30 on Tuesday night. And this update was also brought to you by the Windy City Bulls. The next home game broadcast will be on SportsTownChicago.com February 7th when the Bulls take on the Grand Rapids Drive at 7 p.m. Tickets start at just $10. Visit WindyCityBulls.com for more details. I'm Kevin Trigoning, and you're listening to ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. It's not just sports, it's a way of life. All right, we're back. This is the K-Trey Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. We're going to jump into a little Hawk talk before we get into the circus of the Chicago Bulls. So I was in attendance Thursday night when we were playing. Who'd they play? I can't even think of who they played now off the top of my head.
Playing the Bruins, wasn't they?
No, it wasn't Thursday night. Winnipeg Jets. Winnipeg Jets, they played Thursday night. I don't know if you remember last week, Matt, we were talking about the goalie situation, right? How Scott Darling was doing a lot better than Corey Crawford. His numbers are actually still the same. He's actually still doing, statistically-wise, better than Corey Crawford. Scott Darling's got a 2.31 goals against average. Corey Crawford's a little higher, 2.57. But in that game, the Hawks were doing pretty good. They were up 3-2, if I'm not mistaken. Gave up two quick early goals, came back, take a 3-2 lead. And then the third quarter, they gave up about, three goals in a period of a couple minutes to lose that game, even though Darling gives up four or five goals. His numbers are still statistically better than Corey Crawford in a smaller sample size. But I don't know. The Blackhawks have a weird knack of giving up a lot of goals in, a short period of time.
Well, they're still second in the conference, right?
Yeah, they are still second in the conference. It's not that much of a distance. I think they're, a game behind the Minnesota Wild, if I'm not mistaken. They're playing very good. When you compare them to the Chicago Bulls, they're going to be, one of the top seeds in the conference. But a few weeks ago, we were talking about how bad, I guess we thought, the backup goalie was. But he's been playing so well as of late that he's eclipsed.
And I always tell Madden them on the fun club, any given day, any given Sunday, every day is different.
Yeah, certain guys just don't have it some games, and then they come back and play way better.
They look at the stats. They look at the paper. Oh, man, they should be blowing them out any given day. You never know. Mm-hmm. A lot of variables in sports. It's especially when you're dealing with humans.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of variables.
Especially hockey, too. You could have a weird bounce. You could have I've seen a bunch of times where guys accidentally hit it in their own net or whatever, or accidentally kick it in. It just hits a bad spot. Goalie's in a bad position. It goes right in the net. Nobody's there to stop it. Obviously it's not by design, but
it happens.
It happens. And then obviously if you have your own little problems, teams can, take advantage of your mistakes.
That's all it takes.
Mm-hmm. It really could happen any given day. But like we were saying before, the Blackhawks are have a very good record. They're one of the top teams in their conference. And we're going to get into stuff a little bit later.
I think Chicago fans always wanted – they always wanted again and again and again. See, they – you know, we never really satisfy in Chicago. That's one of the big things. Put a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. You get it once, they want it twice. You get it twice, you get – oh, man, we got to have it. We got to have it. I mean, they just get junkies, man. They get possessive. They get – we got to have it. We got to get it.
Oh, yeah. And especially with the Hawks.
Short, you come short.
A lot of people, like, Matt, we don't even talk Blackhawks that much. We talk it, I don't know, every couple weeks maybe.
Yeah.
And not even that long. We're doing it in the five-minute segment right now, but.
Yeah, which is going to be preempted.
Mm-hmm. And.
Because we just got some more interesting news.
What do you got?
Aaron Emmy just retweeted, Kyle Shanahan said Mike Shanahan won't be on 49ers staff, said he anticipates listening to advice but not working together officially. So does that mean he's taking the Niners head coaching job?
It could be. I mean, I know it's been a revolving door, you know, of guys who they want and, you know, they won't interview for whatever reason. I know they wanted the guy from the Patriots, Josh McDaniels, but I think he's going to stay there. And then, you know, the talk is, you know, the offensive coordinator, like you said, from Atlanta. But real quick before we go to a break, though, Blackhawks are 30-16. With five losses in overtime this year, which obviously is a very good record. But, yeah, like you said, you know, once you get that taste, and I know, like I was going to say before we got into the breaking news, we don't talk Blackhawks that much. A lot of fans, I don't think, are even really watching the Blackhawks yet. But it's coming.
Once towards playoff time.
Mm-hmm. Playoffs? Because, I mean, the All-Star game was this past weekend.
That's the only time you love me, huh? When I'm all the way down there, I'm finna get the big stuff, huh?
Huh?
Wow.
I love my Blackhawks, even though they're not doing great right now. They're going to turn it around and make the playoffs.
Well, they're definitely going to make the playoffs. That's not the issue. But I think the top seed's 32-11. They're 30-16. Let's see how many games back technically that is. I don't even think it says. But, I mean, it's not that many. Obviously, they have way less losses than the Blackhawks. But I know Minnesota's beaten the tar out of the Blackhawks all year. But... I mean, they're going to be fine. It's going to be right about when the postseason rolls around, everybody's going to come start watching the Blackhawks. Everybody's going to start looking for the seeding and whatnot, see where they measure up in terms of the playoff positioning. And then, you know, the playoffs get started. It's a very long postseason. I think each round's like seven games. So, you know, that's going to take a long time. And then from there, you know, it's... That's going to be all we have to watch because, quite frankly, I don't know if the Bulls are going to be there when postseason comes around. But
you know, hey, we'll figure out, you know, they have some ping pong championships going on somewhere.
Hey, the Bulls might be doing their own ping pong stuff here if they don't get in the playoffs. They're going to be in that lottery conversation. So we're going to start that conversation when we come back. A little Bulls talk when we come back. This is the K-Trey Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
You want to know how? Stacey King says,
big time plays make big time plays.
You listen to the K-Trey Show Monday nights from 7 to 9 at ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Give me the hot sauce, sriracha. Did you not get the memo?
All right, it's rant time here on the K-Trey Show. All right, so the big talk in Chicago as of late is who should be starting at point guard for the Chicago Bulls. I got this guy right here, right? I got this guy. He's a four-time All-Star, third-team All-NBA, two-time defensive first-teamer, 2010-2011, two-time NBA All-Defensive second team, 2009-2012, three-time NBA assist leader, steals leader in 2010, All-Rookie second-teamer, NBA champion. And he currently closes out games for Fred Hoiberg. But for some reason, and I don't know what it is, I don't know, maybe you guys can tell me, Rajon Rondo has to get out of town. He can finish games. He used to be able to start. He's won a championship ring. He's bad at defense. I don't know. They said he's a two-time All-NBA first, All-Defensive first-teamer twice. So he's horrible at defense, though, apparently. He's horrible in the locker room, even though all the youngsters like him. I don't get it, guys. I really don't. This guy closes out the games for Fred Hoiberg, but he was benched, what, for 2 weeks for whatever reason?
There's a lot of politics in there, man. A lot of politics going on.
It has to be. I mean, the guy who
politics.
The guy who Rondo was benched for currently doesn't even get minutes for the Bulls anymore. And now it's the guy who was just in the D League, who wasn't getting any minutes before that point. Now he's starting.
Man.
It's crazy.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, this whole regime is insane. We were talking during the break about Denzel Valentine. Denzel Valentine doesn't play anymore. Is he in the D League? Is that where he's at?
No, he's still on. I thought he's on the bench.
He's on the Windy City Bulls.
Right.
He just played Saturday night for the Windy City Bulls, dropping 24 all from the three-point range.
Yeah, and I think he had 4 threes the last time he was in a game. But for some reason, these guys aren't good enough to be on the Bulls.
I said it now, and I'll say it again. Hoiberg needs to get out of town.
Three more years.
It might be coming. Like, you know, I always say it always comes from upstairs sometimes. It's a lot of stuff behind the scenes, gentlemen. We don't get to see.
I don't know. I know a lot of people are down on Garland Pax. A lot of people are not a big fan of what they're doing.
Speaking of Garland Pax.
Drop it.
They're at the Duke Notre Dame game scouting.
Maybe they're just taking in some good college basketball.
Hey, I'm hoping they're scouting. I'm hoping the blow up is coming. We're going to trade everybody. Unfortunately, I mean, I remember I said, oh, the rant last week was Rondo. I think the rant last week was, oh, we want to package Rondo and Mirotić now.
Yeah.
Well, let's not start rumors, gentlemen.
No, that's what they said. We can't get anything for Rondo, so we're going to give someone Mirotić because we want to get rid of Rondo that bad. Like I said, this guy's not good enough to start, but we have to get rid of him for some reason.
Because he
must have kissed somebody's daughter, man.
I think it's because of his antics that he got into Hoiberg's face after a game because he got benched.
Oh, that was the assistant coach, I think. He threw a towel at him or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Boylan. Whatever, though. I mean, people get in fights with their coaches all the time, all right? You don't just, okay, this is our best option. We might as well get rid of him because I don't like him. We might as well get rid of Hoiberg because we don't like him.
And promote Randy Brown.
Promote whoever. It doesn't
matter. No, promote Randy Brown because he's the one who got the Bulls to the Summer League Championships and they won.
Oh, the Summer League Championships.
Because we were talking about that in the show.
Yeah, we were. I remember that. And the Bulls have a championship. Oh, man. The Bulls are a mess. I mean, realistically, what they need to do going into this trade deadline is look at every person on the team and say, okay, there is no value with these four players, so we're going to let them keep playing. Because, obviously, you need to fill out a roster. You're not going to get anything for those guys. You know, we're talking about Rondo, talking about even probably Nico, talking about Bobby Portis, Paul Zipser. Paul Zipser's been actually playing pretty well as of late. But guys who you're not going to get big value for. You always kind of want to trade guys while their value are high. You don't trade guys when their value is gone. You try to keep them and find value in there. Find a reason to keep them on the team. Look at Rondo. Rondo's given a shot of life into that second unit. Okay, there's nice stretches where that second unit does nothing. And then, you know, Rondo stays in there because of, I don't know what it is. It's playmaking ability or whatever it is. Hoiberg likes something about him to finish the game. But obviously he's not good enough to start, but... a lot of these guys, we talked about it last, at least I talked about it last year. Nico probably should have been traded last year while he still had value. Now another season into his NBA career, he doesn't look like he likes it here. Maybe can't shake the Euro game. I don't know what his deal is, but that player who we saw flashes of that first year, it's just not working right now. And it's like that with a lot of these guys.
Well, you know, it's... I don't know what to say, man. Sometimes, you know, it is what it is sometimes. But the whole thing, I don't know, man. It's a lot of politics running around, a lot of egos and, you know, word lashings. And so people showing you, you know, I can tighten the belt up, I'll show you. And,
oh, yeah. And it's the whole – I don't know if you heard all the stuff with the veterans.
Right.
What was it, a week ago when they were all talking stuff after the game and then Rondo comes out and says his own things. And I'm sorry, between those three, media comments, I think Rondo had the best one.
Yeah.
He comes back and sticks up for all the young guys. I mean, the other two guys are saying, oh, yeah, we can't do it ourselves. You know, me and Jimmy can't do this. Me and Jimmy can't do that. Me and Wade can't do this. Partially, I think Butler's got to go. I think there's a big ego there where he really wants to be the leader. He really wants to do this. And then when you see the Bulls down 4-6 points, he just drives down the court, throws up a random shot, whether it's a good one or not, because it's his shot. It's his turn to score. You know, well, that superstar will get you back in the game. And he thinks that that's him.
Well, some of these guys probably got the wrong perception of leaders, of the definition of a leader. It's not about the flash bang and boom, boom. It's how you get the people back to follow and do what you got and finish the goal out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a leader does. I mean, sometimes a leader sacrifices itself.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what you just said. I don't think that Butler really knows how to do that. I think Wade has been in the league long enough where he kind of does things his own way. And I think you kind of saw it when Jimmy and Wade both had their own little, you know, statements after I don't think it was the game they got benched. I think the game after they got benched was even worse. That's when Butler had that, I think, 2 points or something, had a horrible game. He was like 1-14. But
when he got shut down, that was after the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like Butler feels he has to be a leader without necessarily having the qualities to do so.
Well, you got to understand, young guys like being the notion of being a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, but you got to understand they have leadership training. They have you know, you just want to be leadership because it sounds good.
Mm-hmm. And I think guys pick things up year by year. You know, you play with this veteran who carried himself this way. Like, you always hear, like, I love playing with this guy. He taught me how to be a man. He taught me how to be a man on and off the field. You know, you pick that up from your leaders, and then that eventually will turn you into a leader.
Like they say, real bad boys move in silence. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't even have to ask to be a leader. When you the things you go out and do, people are going to look at you and say, man, that's the leader. You know, the guy's going to commentary. They're going to comment on it. Hey, man, he led them today. No, he might not even score all the points. But if they see that you got them together, they was losing, you turned it around, you're always talking to everybody, man, let's go, we could do it. It's you holding your hand up saying, I want to be the boss. That really says a lot against you, you know. But he's young, so, you know, he's going to have to grow into it, you know. Hey,
it's true, and maybe this is a learning curve for Butler, but.
Yeah, it seems like it's another breaking news.
What do you got?
Texans hire ex-Patriot Wes Welker as an assistant coach.
Ooh, so he's done, huh?
Yeah.
Wes Welker's career is over in playing anyway.
Right.
But it's like what you just said, though, about the veterans. Like, look at those Miami Heat teams. They had a lot of older veterans on that team who never really played. You know, Joel Anthony, guys like that, Haslam. You know, like, they would play when they needed them, when they needed, you know, that spark off the bench, you know. But I'm trying to think of the exact instance. I remember something happened before a game, and it was really talked about. It may have been the Lance Stevenson stuff, where they, before the game, I think it was Haslam and somebody else, went over to the other team's bench and had to talk with them and during shoot-around. And like, hey, you know, we don't like whatever you did, whatever the case was. And it was the veterans, you know, showing their leadership then. But I don't know. What do you think about them potentially trading Jimmy Butler to start this rebuilding thing? And
well, you know what, Butler, you know, if Butler was doing this the way he was playing when he first came in, yeah. But now, I mean, he has value.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the real leadership and the management probably need to really sit down to him. Hey, Butler, you have a potential to be a great leader.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to bang on the walls and you know, throw toilet paper around and stuff to act and squeeze all the soap out in the sink. All we need, you go out and perform, help, assist, just, you know, service, play, team ball. You become a leader.
Uh-huh.
You'll be a leader. Nobody has to give you that title. I mean, you can get that title by just doing the things you do.
Uh-huh.
That's it, man. You know, like a young son, he sees his father being his father. You know, hey, be a man. You know, he watch. Hey, I'll see my dad go to work every day, rain, sleet, or snow. I see my father do this every day.
Uh-huh.
I see my father treat my mother like this every day. You know, hey, Dad, I want to be a man. No, he watches by example. He's going out doing it.
Uh-huh.
That's what you do. You know, your father don't have to tell you, son, I need you to take out the garbage every day, listen to you. You know, your father go on to look at you and say, well, he take out the garbage without me telling him. He does his chores. He doesn't, when his mother tells him to do something, he doesn't like, oh, Mom, why I have to do it? You know, Dad's going to come up and say, son, you've been good. Hey, man, here go extra $2 on your allowance. Wow. You know, you just go out and do what you're supposed to do and take initiative. Boom, you're there.
And that's what kind of makes me think he's kind of a follower. Because it's like he had that statement right when Wade went out and did his thing. You know, he kind of just piggybacked on the back of it. You know, and I think he can pick things up from Wade. Because I think Wade kind of has his own way of leadership. And I feel that almost like Butler is just, I don't want to say copying him, but, you know, just kind of maybe not picking up all the habits that he probably should from Dwayne Wade.
Probably not picking up the good habits.
Exactly.
Because, you know, they say it's no team and no I in team, but you do have an I in individuals. Uh-huh. A team consists of individuals. Uh-huh. We need you to be individually talented. Mm-hmm. To come to the team.
Oh, yeah.
We just need you to play at the team. We want you to be that individual. We need you to be that individual. But if we have a play, we need you to kind of go with the play. Now, if the play gets broken up, we need you to take that individualist skill. Then if you need to showboat and showdown, you can mix it up and mm-hmm. improvise. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But that's showing you that, hey, you're a leader. Mm-hmm. We had a play, but it got broke up. Boom, boom. A play is just like a plan. A plan is always just a guide. And sometimes you have to vary,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And, I mean, you've seen that at points this year where I mean, I don't know. I've seen things in the media. I don't know how true it is. But, Matt, did you see the – I don't know if it's a gif or whatever you would call it. Fred Hoiberg was going to call a timeout. And see Jimmy turn around and say, what? No. And I don't know if that's, you know, just put together. I mean, we could make all types of weird stuff here, you know, chopping up video and whatnot. But it looked like he denied Fred Hoiberg calling a timeout, and that's the coach. You know, you can't do that.
Well, maybe he told him, hey, you know, maybe he understood. Maybe they had to see. We don't know how they communicate before. Hey, if you call a timeout, but if you're in a flow and you already mm-hmm. got it, because probably he saw what Jimmy saw, and then he was gonna call, and Jimmy told him, "Man, I got it. No, don't call the time. I can turn it around. Maybe we're gonna grab this next bound. Bye, 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 bye. Don't mm-hmm. we on the roll? Okay, we just missed it, but we on the roll. I got it. So he just told him, "No, I got it." Well, boom. Now we see it as outside looking in. Oh man, he just disrespected the coach. He told the coach, "Don't call today."
Mm-hmm.
No, he just tell him, "I got it." Boom.
And that's what I'm saying.
And we probably already coordinated already.
Yeah, we don't even know the context of it, but obviously the media blows it up. You know, like, okay, you know, Fred Hoiberg's lost everybody. They won't.
You know,
even
we trying
follow.
To sell papers and content. You know, mm-hmm. Some of the great coaches. I had a coach. Give him a shout out, Donald Pittman, that was instrumental in grooming. Tim Hardaway.
Mm-hmm.
He used to always have his guys. Yeah, yeah, I'm old school. Yeah.
Speaking of Tim Hardaway.
Yeah. He always had his guys to come back and could. He loved guys that could read the defense, what they're doing out there. Although he's on the sideline, he could see too. But hey, coach, man, they doing this. Every time I kick it over there, he kicks it over there. Well, those type of guys, you know, hey.
Uh-huh.
I always said those are the professors of the game. I played a little basketball, but I never studied. I played a little football. Uh-huh. I swam. I never studied it.
Yeah, certain guys just see things and react. Like Urlacher, right. Obviously, was with that type of player. Yeah. What do you got, Mr. Ward, before we go to a break?
Yeah, on a Facebook group, they got top versus bottom. Like, starting five.
Which starting five is better?
Yeah. Between the Houston Rockets and Miami Heat, it's uh-huh. James Harden, Clyde Drexler, Tracy McGrady, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Yao Ming versus Tim Hardaway, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Alonzo Mourning, and Shaq.
I don't know. For me, I would take Houston.
For me too.
I like Shaq, but I can't stand a guy who can't shoot, man. I mean, that's my biggest thing.
He just can't shoot free throws, man.
What do you think? He can shoot the 15-footer, but he can't shoot free throws? I don't know.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah,
his
eyes
are crossed, man.
I mean, we can get into the fantasy stuff all day, but we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get into a little wrestling breakdown.
I'm like Barkley, man. I don't get paid to be a role model. Get out of here.
Forget about it.
We'll be right back to the K-Tray Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Oh, Windy City!
You're now listening to the K-Tray Show on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com and the TuneIn app, where we give you the
major key.
And our segments hit you with
another one.
If you're not listening to us, why aren't you?
And what do you know? We got a couple haters.
Oh, that's right. Because you are
stupid idiot.
And
you just made the list.
Monday? All that and more. Join us Mondays from 7 to 9 on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com and the TuneIn app.
You're listening to ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. It's not just sports. It's a way of life.
Chicagoland Sports Radio Sports Update.
At 8 o'clock, I'm Kevin Dragoni with your ChicagolandSportsRadio.com update brought to you by the Illinois Media School. For more information on careers in broadcasting, go to BeOnAir.com. After the Bulls' 101-108 victory over the 76ers, they're preparing to face Mr. Triple-Double, Russell Westbrook, and the Thunder on Wednesday. Tip-off is at 8:30 on ESPN. Currently scores in the NBA, you have the Philadelphia 76ers knocking out the Sacramento Kings 122-119. Currently the Miami Heat are up 73-64 on the Brooklyn Nets. That's what, about 4 minutes left in the third quarter. You have Minnesota Timberwolves up 52-51 on the Orlando Magic. And currently on TNT, you have the Detroit Pistons trailing the Boston Celtics 36-43. About 3 minutes left until halftime in that game. You have the Cleveland Cavaliers leading the Dallas Mavericks 29-24 with about 30 seconds left in the first quarter. And later tonight on your doubleheader on TNT, you have the Memphis Grizzlies playing the Phoenix Suns. The San Francisco 49ers have hired John Lynch to be their team's general manager, and that deal is a 6-year deal. Your former Chicago Cub catcher David Ross will be talking baseball as he signs a deal to be an ESPN analyst. And the Hawks are traveling to California to face the San Jose Sharks. Puck drop is tomorrow at 9:30. And this update has been brought to you by the UIC men's basketball team. The next broadcast is on CSR. Will be on February 9th when the Flames take on Youngstown State at 7 p.m. For more details, visit UICFlames.com. I'm Kevin Dragoni, and you're listening to ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. It's not just sports. It's a way of life. All right, we're back. This is K-Trey Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. We're going to get into some Royal Rumble talk now. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. The Royal Rumble was very disappointing for me. It started out bad with my girl Alexa Bliss got pinned in the pre-show.
Sound like a royal tumble, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. Matt Ward, have you heard any good thoughts on the Royal Rumble? I think a lot of people generally didn't like it.
The only good thing about it was the Cena-AJ match.
That's all I've heard, to be honest. I think a lot of people did not like that.
And the club won in the tag team titles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. How do I put it? It's about time they did something with them. I mean, they haven't really done anything with the club for a very long time. I mean, I don't even think they really built up this feud at all, did they? I mean, I haven't really been paying attention to Raw that much, but they went from Cesaro and Sheamus in the New Day to this other feud without much buildup at all. The Royal Rumble itself, I think, let a lot of people down. Everybody guessing of who the random entrants will be and whatnot. And I think everybody was wrong. I mean, there really wasn't anybody that surprised anybody except for
Ty Dillinger, the Perfect 10, entering at number 10.
As we, I think, speculated that he would. But all these, what are we, fools? Like, why do we do this, Matt? Why are we on the radio? To talk about a bunch of stuff that's not going to happen? Talk about Kurt Angle maybe being in the Rumble, but he's not there. Talk about the return of Finn Balor, which doesn't happen.
It's the potential. It's the mystic of it all.
I mean, hell, we should have made this Royal Rumble. I mean, all the random people we threw in there, all these random guys are going to be in there, all these Hall of Famers, Jake the Snake, all the other guys we've referenced in the past month or so.
But we get Jack Gallagher, Kalisto.
I mean, he's on the other show, so it's okay. People don't really know who Jack Gallagher is, so it's...
Oh, he has a following in WWE already.
I liked him. I mean, I like 205 Live.
It's like 205 Live, but... having him in a match that's for a heavyweight title.
I mean, don't get me started,
not the cruiserweight title.
About all the women who've been in it, you know? I mean, you could go up and down the line. What about Michael Cole being in a Royal Rumble, all right? I mean, there's so many bad examples. Give me James Ellsworth was your big surprise this year. Ooh, the guy who's not really a wrestler.
No, I think the biggest surprise was Roman Reigns at number 30.
And then the fans chanting, "We don't like this," or something along those lines. I don't know. It probably wasn't, "We don't like this." It was probably something a little more vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the fans were not happy in the Alamo Dome watching the Royal Rumble.
I think he cemented his heel turn by throwing out The Undertaker.
I mean, I could see it. I mean, I know they had the whole Braun Strowman thing interrupting. Well, I personally think it's stupid that he's in the title match and he's in the Royal Rumble. But, I mean,
that's how it used to be.
Double dipping, baby.
That's how they have it. It's like if you're the former champ, if you're the champion, and you go and lose it, knowing that this Rumble match guarantees you a rematch, despite the fact you might not get one, that's why they go for it.
Well, I mean, they used to do that when they didn't have enough people on the roster. Yeah. You know, you want to keep it interesting, but now they have two separate shows with your own separate rosters. You have the 205 Live, you have NXT, you have all these random things that you can take 30 people from. I mean, we talked about it before, about how they do the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal to get more people on the WrestleMania card. But, I mean, unfortunately, to see your random guys, your Hall of Famers and all that, you're going to have to wait till WrestleMania because you didn't get that in this Royal Rumble. You didn't get any of that. You didn't get your Hall of Famers. You didn't get your guys coming back from injury. You didn't get your guys coming up from NXT. You didn't have any of that. Unless it's that Gallagher is going to get a big push now.
So you see how excited you are going to be for the next one? The next event after?
The next
upper level?
The next event is Elimination Chamber, and I'm actually
that's going to be good, I think.
I'm actually more excited because...
See? Look at him. Look at
him. I think that pre-show is a precursor to Elimination Chamber.
I mean, it could be.
That six-woman Divas tag could be the six women that be inside the Elimination Chamber.
Well, that was all SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have Alexa Bliss, Natalya, Mickie James, Becky Lynch, Naomi, and Nikki Bella all in the Chamber match.
She's going to lose it, man. I know she's going to lose it, and I'm going to be sad. When she loses the championship, I'm going to be sad.
That's all they want is your emotions, and see, they already got it. You're already emotionally in tides.
They really do.
You know, it reminds me today. I had to. Well, that's personal, man. But yeah, I had a lady, man. You know, I work. You know, I'm a special ed worker, so I help. You know, I do humanitarian stuff, man. Mm-hmm. So her dog was sick, and you know, I got my brother to take her down to the vet, and blah blah blah, and told her, "Well, call me, I'll come get you." I got to do a radio show, blah blah blah, and then you know, while I'm on the L, you know, jiggling around and. Calls me, "Oh man, thank you. You know, you're the best." I'm like, "I know, you know, no biggie. You know, you don't have to shine my shoes or cook breakfast." Then she calls me back, "Oh, my dog died." I was like, "Oh man, I wanted to tell her I'm not a very emotional guy. You know, I don't know. It's just, you know, I know that's, hope she didn't turn us on. I won't be getting that Twinkie no more, you know." Yeah, so, you know, this is what they do, man. You get the emotions and, you know, but hey, that's what you do. So you come out here and talk your heart out and wait for the next one, baby. And everybody sides with you, Kevin. Like, yeah, Kevin is right, you know. Hey.
I hope I'm right about half the stuff I talk about. But like I was saying, I mean, we were wrong about just about everything we predicted for yesterday. So.
Well, if not, you come cry together then. So the more the merrier, huh?
I mean, that's what fuels the show. I mean, Matt, we talked about doing a 3-hour show, which obviously we're not doing now. Yeah. But it was because we thought the Royal Rumble was going to be fantastic.
Yep.
We thought we were going to have stuff to break down for hours. And we basically still have enough to break down. But it wasn't quite. It was like, we're going to break down this great thing. But I was like, okay, let's break down this garbage. All right, let's break it down. Let's break down this trash.
Man.
But I mean, that's what it is. You know, I know.
SmackDown's the better brand.
And it's true. It really is. And I mean, all the build of the Royal Rumble was around three people. It was around The Undertaker. It was around
Brock and Goldberg,
yeah. It was around those big three. And
they came out 27, 28, and 29.
And I was so mad about that because I knew those three were coming still. And I was like, okay, come on. If it's not this guy, then I already know the last three people, and I'm going to be mad because there's no special people. Then we got three, and oh, we got one more. We got one more guy. Who's it going to be?
And then
Kurt Angle. I was like, Kurt Angle. It's going to be Kurt Angle.
I thought
it's going to be Kurt Angle.
I thought Finn Balor.
Boom. Yeah, Roman Reigns comes out. Garbage. Absolute garbage.
It's build up, man. It's the build up.
It's true. I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they even planned it in that light. Okay. You know, hey, they think it could be anybody. Let's give them Roman Reigns again. Let's give them Roman Reigns and see how mad they get.
Waiting for the ticket sales to go up for the next one, baby.
Oh, yeah.
They're already planning.
I mean, and it gets to a point, I mean, you're 100% right, where we're saying, like, okay, the last Royal Rumble sucked. So next year it'll be, okay, last Royal Rumble was terrible. They didn't have any new people. So this year it's going to be, you know, that many more people, right?
You guys going to talk about it all year, get emotionally tied in it. And, man, when they come out,
we're
it's going to
be let down again.
Well, you know, it's just, but they got ticket sales up. So then it goes to the next. See, they already planned out 10 years, baby.
Oh, yeah.
They had it.
I'm sure they do. I mean, they already have the venues down. They already know. I mean, we've talked about this before. I wonder how far ahead they actually have, because obviously wrestling's fake. But, I mean, how far ahead do they know?
Can't be saying that, man. They,
hey, hey.
It's like telling them Christmas ain't real. You
1997,
know?
1998, I think everybody knew it was fake then. They let the cat out of the bag.
I hate to tell you, man, I watched it in the 70s with Dick the Bruiser and them. I knew it was fake. At the amphitheater, man.
Well, they
I
used
knew
to
it.
Act then. They yeah. used to, hey, if you said it was fake then, you're going to punch in the face.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't fake. They'd knock you out.
They defended that like royalty. All right. They did not want anyone to, they didn't want not want the cat out of the bag there. Now it's they kind of embrace it, and it's, I mean, to me, that's part of the mystique, though. It's, you know, obviously if you go to a movies, you go to see the Avengers or something like that, that's a bunch of guys in costumes, all right? They're not really saving the world, okay? That's a green screen, whatever. You know, if you want to be that guy that looks at it like that. But, I mean, it's the same thing with wrestling, though. They have to make it believable. They have to make it interesting. They have to find a way to do something that we haven't seen before.
Sell the story, huh?
Exactly. You have to find a way to do that. Like, I mean, you probably haven't watched wrestling in a long time, right?
No.
So, in order for them to make it interesting to you, I don't know what they would have to do. But that's something they would have to think about. You know, it's
have
like
to be in a movie. Maybe I like movies. Something like I never really like live plays. Mm-hmm. They made a movie about it. I'd probably go watch it.
Oh yeah, and I mean that's. Well, I'm going to get into it in a little bit. We're going to talk about the WrestleManias. But every year, obviously, they have that big event, you know, and all this stuff that Bills do it and all that. And I mean, obviously, I'm sure you've heard of Hulk Hogan and guys like that. You know, you've known.
They were coming up through the ranks when after Dick the Bruiser and them steamy. I mean, Ricky Steamboat and all them.
Yep.
Yeah, you know. And Andre the Giant.
Yep.
Yeah, he came out of there. He was after Dick the Bruiser and them. He was training, yeah.
There's a segue, baby. When we come back, it's the history lesson. We're going to talk about the first five WrestleManias, and basically all those guys you just named are a part of it. When we come back, this is the K-Trek Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Oh, Windy City!
Are you tuning in to the K-Trek Show? Are you tuning into the K-Trek Show?
What?
Really?
What?
Are you?
What?
Tune into the K-Trek Show Monday nights from 7 to 9 on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Cause that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Sensor.
Alright, we're back. This is the K-Trek Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. It's history lesson time, but before we get into it, we're going to, I guess, refresh everything. I'm Kevin Trigoni. You can check me out on Facebook and Twitter at Kevin Trigoni, TREGONING. Mr. Ward?
You can find me on Twitter at WarriorMW23. You can find me running the K-Trey Show, Twitter at K-Trey Show. And you can find me on Facebook at Franchise Matt Ward.
Mr. Williams?
AJ Williams. You can actually find me at the Williams Media Group, Her TV. I got the Will to Real Life for Women. And you can come AJ Williams WordPress.com. I'm there.
All right, so it's history lesson time, and I think I'm gonna do this probably every week.
Get your pencils out, kid.
When we get into, I guess the highlights of each WrestleMania. So the first one took place at Madison Square Garden. I want to get the exact date here before we go any further here. The first match ever. We talked about it before. Tito Santana versus the Great. The Executioner.
Oh,
the very
wow.
first match. The Executioner versus Tito Santana.
The Executioner had to be getting old by then, wasn't
it? I think it was a tag team or something.
Oh, wow.
I think it was one of them that he fought. But it was just some random guy in a mask versus Tito Santana. It was March 31st, 1985 was the first one in Madison Square Garden. Yeah.
Funny you bring that up.
What do you got?
Tito Santana's going to be main eventing an indie event in New Jersey. Guess who his opponent is?
Guess how old he is. Yeah, what's his opponent?
Greg the Hammer Valentine.
I wonder how old he is. Holy crap. This guy's got to be... I don't know how those guys still wrestle at that age. 50 plus, got to be at least 50
Social
plus.
Security, huh?
I don't know, man. You gotta catch those checks, I guess. Well, you can still get them. All right, other matches that are of note. King Kong Bundy defeats Special Deliveries Jones in 24 seconds.
SD Jones.
Hold on, King Kong Bundy?
King Kong Bundy.
Are we talking about the original King Kong Bundy? You know how?
Maybe, I don't know. We're talking 1985. What is the original King Kong Bundy?
He came out of, I remember him coming young guy when Dick the Bruiser now was.
It could be.
Oh, that dude got
to
be.
He was in the original Legion of Doom.
Was he?
Yeah, with Jake the Snake, the Road Warriors.
Oh, man.
And Precious Paul Ellering.
That's interesting.
Oh, God.
And then, of course, your main event, you got Hulk Hogan with Mr. T versus Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. Superfly Jimmy Snuka and
Roddy Piper?
Roddy Piper, yes.
Oh, my God. That Man, you taking me back, man.
That's the point.
Those were the new guys from the old age. They was the new ones coming up.
And these are the guys who made this WrestleMania thing that you see these posters on the wall. This is what made this
Roddy Piper,
going,
man. Oh,
just
my
passed
God.
Away this past year, if I'm not mistaken. He died last year?
Yeah, 2015. 2016,
yeah.
Yeah,
he passed
Bless
away
his
this past
soul,
year.
Man.
He passed away right after Dusty.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Some of the celebrities there, you had Billy Martin, Muhammad Ali, Liberace. There's a bunch of, obviously a bunch of celebrities at each of these. We're going to jump into WrestleMania 2 now at the Nassau Coliseum. This was actually pretty interesting because they had, it was a split event thing. You had, it started out, I think, at the Nassau Coliseum, and then they had their main event. And then they would go to the Rosemont Horizon for the second half of it, and then the third half was at the Los Angeles Memorial Sports Arena. Some of the big matches, Macho Man versus George the Animal Steel.
Macho Man, man, that's...
he also died. Actually, no, it was probably... First
Macho...
He probably died 10 years ago or something.
No, 2015.
We had Macho and Kramat.
Macho Man died years ago. It's just 15, he got in the Hall of Fame.
It was 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. I remember he died in a car accident years ago. But Mr. T fights again against Roddy Piper in a boxing match.
Mr. T, huh?
That was...
Pity the fool.
That was one of the main events. Each place had, like, a main event. Mr. T versus Roddy Piper was one of them.
Wow.
The other main event was a big battle royal. You had a bunch of NFL guys in there. The Fridge, William Perry was in it.
Oh, wow.
Actually, it wasn't that long. 2011.
Did he pass?
Yeah, May...
Oh, 6 years ago.
May 2011.
Yeah, so there was a lot of big matches there. They had the Dream Team, which was
Brutus the Barber Beefcake
and Greg Valentine, who you just referenced.
Yeah.
Against the British Bulldogs for the tag team titles. Ozzy Osbourne, I believe, was went to the ring with the British Bulldogs. And then your main event, you got Hulk Hogan against King Kong Bundy in a steel cage.
Yeah, old school, man. King Kong Bundy and Hulk Hogan.
The blue steel cage.
Oh, yeah, back then it was blue.
Hulk Hogan... Ricky Steamboat and all them was coming up.
Actually, before you go further into the Ricky Steamboat, he was at the first WrestleMania, if I'm not mistaken, versus Matt Bourne, who went on to be Doink.
Ricky Steamboat was the pretty boy then, come on, man. Pretty
did you,
Ricky.
Did you write this or did I write this?
Hey,
we're going
hey,
on to
hey,
WrestleMania
hey,
3,
hey,
right?
Hey,
one of the biggest matches at WrestleMania 3 and one of the greatest matches in WrestleMania history. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat going one-on-one with the Macho Man Randy Savage.
For the Intercontinental title.
Yep. And then it obviously tied into last year's WrestleMania where you had the Animal Steel going against Macho Man and then his obsession with Miss Elizabeth and all that.
Oh, wow.
And then the main event of that, which was where did this take place? It was at
the Pontiac Silverdome.
That a boy. Pontiac Silverdome in front of 93,000 people.
Wow.
Is that real? 93,000 people in 1987?
Yep.
That's insane for the time period. I mean,
man, that was growing like stock cars.
I don't know. If you look at all the WrestleMania, that's probably got to be one of the biggest attendances out of all of them
in over
30 years. And that's in 1987.
We only had like 5,000 at the amphitheater. That was packed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the way they do these events now, it's got to be a huge thing or else you're basically not going to do it. So the big match, obviously, going into WrestleMania 3 was Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. The big, the
body slam heard around the world.
Yeah, pretty much. It was one of the biggest matches of both their careers. And then, we have to hurry this up. WrestleMania 4, to me, this was a big deal because Andre the Giant beat Hulk Hogan, and then it was, a bunch of controversy and whatnot. So it goes into this tournament, right, that takes place at WrestleMania. And one of the matches in the tournament is Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant, which was the main event from the previous year.
Yeah.
So you go to this, the next one, you have the big main event from the last one in this tournament, So you have all these other guys, all these other big matches. And I mean, it all kind of tied together, and I thought it was pretty good. You had this big tournament at the beginning. Bad News Brown wins.
And just so happens to coincidentally be at our president's former casino.
That's true. The WrestleMania 4 takes place at historic Atlantic City Convention Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Which was, of course, hosted by Donald Trump, your president, President Donald Trump. The Ultimate Warrior defeats Hercules. He was, what was he, the Dingo Warrior back in the day?
No, yeah, and USWA.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Demolition defeats Strike Force, and then Randy Savage eventually wins the title in the tournament.
Both with Hogan the help of Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah. Well, Hogan and Andre both get eliminated.
Randy Savage, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The Macho King.
I think it's his first championship, right? Macho Man wins his first championship. And, of course, Ted DiBiase had Andre the Giant in his corner.
Oh, man, DiBiase. Oh.
Ted DiBiase did some things. Ted DiBiase was wrestling forever.
Sound like a killer, man. Yeah.
Ted DiBiase was a good guy. All right, so WrestleMania 5 here before we jump into this update. You have the Mega Powers exploding. You have Hulk Hogan going against
Macho King. Macho King.
And like we were saying before about the Patriots, it's what it was every year. It was who's going up against Hogan. Oh, how are we going to have Hogan? Who's going to be the guy to take down Hogan? And Macho Man goes on his egotistical hatred of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, his jealousy and rage.
Over Miss Elizabeth. And so that explodes. Hulk Hogan beats Macho Man Randy Savage and wins the title. Let's see if there's any other big matches. Jake the Snake versus Andre the Giant. Disqualification, obviously. It's a disqualification.
Yeah.
You know, that obviously something happens with the snake, you know. Rick Rude is the Ultimate Warrior. That was a pretty big match from what I remember. Let's see what else we have.
Demolition versus...
Who do you got? Who do you got? Are you right?
Remember.
Are you right?
I'm trying to remember.
Mr. Fuji?
Powers of Pain.
That a boy. Look at you knowing stuff. Yeah, okay. So, before we go with this update, a lot of celebrities at all of these. Elvira, Joan Rivers were at the second one. Third one, like I said before... Who else you got?
No, that's a later, but with celebrity-wise, that just fit in with a passing of Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, yeah.
WrestleMania 7.
Was it 7?
Yeah, WrestleMania 7.
That was at Atlantic 2, wasn't it?
No. 4 and 5 were.
Maybe it was 5, then. I think she was at one of them.
It was WrestleMania. Maybe she was at both of them. It was at WrestleMania 7 where Jake the Snake gave her a $100 bill from Ted DiBiase that he threw out to the crowd
after
the match.
Like, you know, and this
because Ted DiBiase shared the story on his Facebook the day Mary Tyler Moore passed away. That's how I remembered it.
Mm-hmm. And lots of celebrities obviously attend all these events. And then we'll break here pretty soon, but we'll get into that. Through the weeks of all the celebrities and whatnot who have attended all of these, I'm sure, you know, you're going to get some here at this upcoming WrestleMania as well. I mean, we talked about it, you know, the Ronda Rouseys and all the, you know, every year there's always somebody. But we're going to continue this talk. When we come back, we're going to go to this quick update. And we'll be right back. This is the K-Trey Show here at ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Chicagoland Sports Radio Sports Update.
At 8:30, I'm Kevin Dragoning with your ChicagolandSportsRadio.com update brought to you by the Illinois Media School. For more information on careers in broadcasting, go to beonair.com. After the Bulls' 121-108 victory over the 76ers, they're preparing to face Russell Westbrook and the Thunder. Wednesday night tip-off is 8:30 on ESPN. And currently in your NBA scores, Philadelphia knocks off Sacramento Kings 122-119. Brooklyn is trailing the Miami Heat 87-93 with about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. You got the Orlando Magic up 70-64 on the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's about 4 minutes left in the third. On TNT, you got Detroit Pistons trailing 50-58 on the Boston Celtics. That's 10 minutes left in the third. You got Cleveland trailing the Dallas Mavericks 51-45. That's about 2 minutes left in the second. And later on TNT tonight, you have the Memphis Grizzlies playing the Phoenix Suns. In baseball news, former Cubs catcher David Ross will be talking baseball as he signs with ESPN to be a baseball analyst. Football San Francisco 49ers have hired John Lynch to be the team's general manager and to sign a 6-year deal. And the Hawks are traveling to California to face the San Jose Sharks. Puck drop is at 9:30 on Tuesday night. This update was also brought to you by the UIC men's basketball team. The next broadcast on CSR will be Friday the 9th when the Flames take on Youngstown State at 7 p.m. For more details, visit uicflames.com. I'm Kevin DeGoing, and you're listening to ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. It's not just sports, it's a way of life. All right, it's time for 3-C here on the K-Tray Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. 3-C is three things basically to look for over the next week, three things to watch, whatever it might be. Obviously, the Super Bowl Sunday, I don't know, you should probably watch that. I think everybody's going to be watching that. Super Bowl's obviously a big thing. I mean, I said it earlier, man. I could care less about the Bulls. I really could. But all the drama after the game is must-watch television, man. What are these guys going to say after a game? Who's going to say what? Who's getting benched? I mean, I'm probably more interested in what the coach says and what everybody else says than the actual game. I mean, this team's basically trying to fight to hold on to an eighth seed. I mean, that's really not
one of your astound colleagues I was reading just say, hey, you know what? I just want to see how it all plays out
exactly
at the end of the season.
Trade deadline's coming up in, I think, 3-4 weeks. I mean, there's going to be a lot of trade talk between now and then, and even some trades made between now and then, hopefully. I mean, I don't want to see this team stand pat and do absolutely nothing. They're going to have to do something. Matt Ward, do you have anything else?
We got Gotham.
Gotham. I've caught up with Gotham over the weekend. Gotham's been
fantastic.
Oh, man,
he's about to turn to Batman.
Oh.
He's finna go Batman.
That's been the rumor. That you're gonna,
yeah.
Throughout this season, you are going to see Bruce Wayne
turn into
Batman.
Because they've been teasing us.
Are you caught up with the whole
Gotham
thing?
Oh, man, I'm a Gotham guy, man.
Right.
You know, I don't believe in vigilantes for me being a cop, but, hey, you know, man, I follow the story. I was a Batman fan when I was young. I didn't read comic books. I liked to look at them. My twin was a reader.
Mm-hmm.
But some Batman always, I liked the uniform for some reason, and I was looking at Gotham. Man, I was like, I'm surprised somebody went back to take that story before he turned into Batman.
I mean, I love it. Yeah. I think it's great. You see kind of glimpses of certain characters. I know the first time the guy who probably is going to play the Joker died, everybody was like, that's going
to
be the Joker.
Yeah. He was supposed to be the best. He was one of the, he was the great, you know, other than the crazy man.
The Penguin?
No, the original.
Well,
not the original Joker. Not, that's way before your time, Caesar.
Caesar Romero. But, I'm familiar. Don't think I'm not familiar.
Oh, okay. You do.
That's
right. You a history
buff. I like some 60s Batman.
No, I got to play The Shining. You know.
Oh, Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. He did it good, but that young guy really
Heath Ledger,
took
yes.
it. Yeah, he took it, man.
Do you see Suicide Squad?
Oh man,
Jared Leto's Joker.
Oh, yeah,
what do you think about that?
Oh man, that was. You know what I thought? I and my brother said, man, that's a crazy show, but really. You know, I was like, man, what's going on with the Fresh Prince? He's gonna play in that? Will?
I know,
Will
right?
Really? But hey, that was an awesome movie.
I enjoyed it.
It was an awesome movie. It was very touching, very awesome, man. I like it. Action packed. I love it.
I know a lot of people didn't really like it. I enjoyed it too. I thought it was a pretty decent movie. And then of course it's gonna lead on to many other things.
Anybody watching Lucifer?
No.
That is wow.
Okay, so that's something to watch also.
Wow, man. Y'all need to, you know,
what's that on? Is that on Fox?
I believe that's on Fox too, man. Mm-hmm. It's just Lucifer is really taking a twist. I mean, in here, you know, I know you guys are Bible buffs. When did the devil have a mother? When did the God have a sister? You know, it's crazy. But if you watch Unnatural, you would see some of the same stuff came back, that the darkness was God's sister. It's crazy. I know, man. I don't really do soaps, but this stuff is, you know, mm-hmm. awesome, man. I don't know.
As long as they make stuff interesting, I know. I think it's FX is going to come out with a show called Legion. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
Yeah,
that's
based off
X-Men or something.
Yeah,
there's going to be a tie into that.
Yeah. I thought it was something else. I thought it was because in the in the Holy Book, Legion is, you know, I think it was a bunch of death. You know, it's
they did
totally
have a movie
different.
Called Legion. That was that based
was,
off that.
That was
partially.
Rhyme.
I mean, it was a sci-fi deal, but it was a pretty good movie.
But this is going to go. This is about. I said, oh man, that's not. I thought that was going to be about demons and stuff. It's going. It looked like it's going to be a great storyline.
Mm. All right, real quick before we go to break, though, I did see the movie Split. I thought that was pretty good. I enjoyed the ending. And one last thing, I don't even know if I was going to say it. I guess I'll say it anyway. Two video game things, man. The new Resident Evil, the game, right, is insane.
Yeah, the movie is insane, isn't it?
Yeah, the movie came out, I believe, along
the same
time.
I love that lady, man. I got a crush on her. I know I'm old, man, having a crush on her.
You know, to be honest, I haven't heard anything about the movie. So, I mean, I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's certainly something to watch.
Yeah, the movie's climax is going to tie in everything.
To the game?
To the other movies, the whole series.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, the realism in the game, and obviously, like, you're just kind of, like, in a room and you know, things pop out and, you know, scary and stuff. I mean, I think it's great. And I don't know if you got a we saw the Rumble. I don't know if you saw the new little mobile game they have.
I actually had it and played it.
I like it. I think it's okay. It's like Bejeweled where you got to match up the jewels and then your guy is going to fight the other guy based on how many jewels you get. It's kind of cool. I don't know. It's kind of strange, but I enjoy it. We come back. We're going to get into a little NXT TakeOver talk, the event before the Royal Rumble. So we're going to discuss that a little bit and some more wrestling topics or whatever else we want to. We got one more segment left. Stay tuned to the K-Trey Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Oh, Windy City!
You're listening to the K-Trey Show on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com and the TuneIn app. If you don't, you will be.
Delete!
And...
obsolete.
And we're back. This is the K-Trey Show here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. That is Bobby Roode's theme music, your new NXT champion after the NXT TakeOver event that took place Saturday. You know, we didn't mention it before. We might as well mention it. The winner of your 2017 Royal Rumble is Randy Orton. What did you think about Randy Orton actually winning the Royal Rumble?
I have a theory to why he won.
But do you like it? Do you dislike it? I was mad that Roman Reigns is out there. And just because he won and Roman didn't.
I love it for the fact that it wasn't Roman Reigns.
Thank you. I agree. So what's your theory?
Elimination Chamber is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that Cena has to defend the title at the Chamber.
Probably. I mean, I don't think that's written down, but I assume he would. Unless it's like the winner of the... Well,
the winner of the Royal Rumble match automatically gets the WrestleMania match.
Well, one thing I was thinking...
But here's the thing. Orton is also in the Chamber match.
Okay. Okay.
So, we know he's going to lose. He's going to be in there to help Bray Wyatt win the title off of Cena, have Bray versus Orton.
It'll be interesting to see if they
where
can do
Bray
something like that.
Goes over Orton.
It could be. But remember back in the day when they first tried the whole brand split thing, they would have the winner would get to pick. What happened to that? Why don't they do that anymore? It's just like automatically assumed that they're going to face whatever brand. I don't know why they do that. I think it'd be cool to see a guy potentially jump or something. Yeah. See if Randy Orton go face Kevin Owens or something or whoever they end up putting it over there. I don't know. I mean, there's all types of stuff they could end up doing. You know, we're going to get on the road to WrestleMania, I guess, technically tonight. But so, yes, we're going to go into NXT TakeOver, which was your event Saturday.
The better show of the weekend.
Yeah, pretty much. I think top to bottom was a better show. Authors of Pain take the championships home. DIY loses. Trying to think what else noteworthy happened there.
Asuka defeated Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, and Nikki Cross.
The Fatal 4-Way to retain the title.
Eric Young beat Ty Dillinger.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
I knew once he lost, he was going to be in the Rumble. Once he lost, because that's how they send the NXT talent that's getting called up. They lose. Their last match on NXT, they lose. They did it with Sami Zayn.
They did it with Samoa Joe, but...
He was actually at TakeOver.
I know he was.
In the crowd.
That's why I thought he would be at the Rumble, which I think everyone did, and he wasn't, so... Oh, they had Ellsworth, though. James Ellsworth is there to waste a spot, so that's fine. They should just have, like, a spot and just, like, nobody come out. Be like, we're going to have somebody, but just be grateful nobody came out. It would have been worse to have this person come out.
For that Ellsworth spot, I would have wished it was Axelmania.
You know what I was thinking? What I thought about this on the train. What if Ellsworth came out and then, like...
Samoa Joe attacked him.
No, well, yes. I was literally going to get to that. But then Shane comes in and he's like, hey, I didn't approve for you to get this spot. I give it to somebody else. And then Samoa Joe comes out, beats the crap out of him, then goes in the ring. I thought that would be great. Instead, we just give it to this guy who's just going to... WWE wanted to go for the ha-ha funny moment, which is unfortunately what Vince McMahon's little trademark is, but...
I think that ha-ha funny moment was number 30.
Yeah. They got to make him go bad, right? You would think they have to,
right? I think he just cemented him going bad by who he eliminated. And the way that person looked at him after.
I don't know. Him versus The Undertaker, though, I don't know if that really does anything for me. It makes me root for The Undertaker because I could care less about Roman Reigns.
Yeah,
but
they're going to have him to where Reigns is a heel and have Taker be the face.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people thought Taker would win the Rumble. And it would be something similar against
Cena.
Against Cena. I don't know. To me, like, the Royal Rumble kind of made you see, like, what way they were going to go for WrestleMania. And I hated every little thing. Every little clue they gave us was terrible. I don't care about Roman Reigns and The Undertaker. I don't care about Why should I care about Goldberg and Brock Lesnar? Which I assume is going to happen at WrestleMania. Goldberg has destroyed Lesnar like the last three times. Why do I suddenly want to see this?
Because...
this is going to be the match that's actually good? Is that what it's going to be? Probably.
Yeah, because of the fact that it might actually be a title match.
Yeah, it could be.
Because Goldberg is scheduled to work Fastlane, which is the Raw pay-per-view before Mania.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, have Goldberg versus Kevin Owens?
Have him versus Kevin Owens. If he don't win the title, have Brock come out and screw him for the title. But we already know that Brock won't be at Fastlane. Mm. He's not booked. So, they're going to have... they'll have Goldberg go over, and then Heyman come out and say, challenge him at Mania.
I don't know.
So what would be the really ultimate entertaining match?
I mean, unfortunately, I would like to see people come back at the Royal Rumble to set up other things. I mean, we speculated that Kurt Angle would come back, a guy from the 90s, maybe even Stone Cold or Shawn Michaels.
Would it make it more entertaining? Would it really?
It might.
The more entertaining match.
Or would you just be excited just to see them?
I mean, well, that's part of it. That's part of it. Because you always hear, like, the buildup between, like, a certain match, and the two guys just can't live up to the, you know, the buildup.
The hype.
Yeah.
The one match that I thought would have been the most logical if WWE would have did it and pulled it was Sami Zayn win the Rumble and Chandler Jones.
Yeah, they but had the feud from years
have,
ago.
But then they have the wild card. Finn Balor comes back and revokes his rematch, make it a triple threat.
Ooh, I never thought of that. That's interesting.
There hasn't been a WrestleMania main event that has been three former NXT champions fighting for the WWE.
That's probably true.
Title.
I mean, you could look that up. I have no idea. I assume, unless you're talking, I don't know, Shield or something. But
in the Shield, when the Shield were in NXT, the only one that was the NXT champion was Rollins.
Okay.
Because he was the very first one.
See, man. This is before I even, like, knew what NXT was. Like, I didn't know any of these people back when they were there. I still remember the whole NXT TakeOver thing when it was actually the TakeOver. When they took over Raw and they all beat up Cena and all that. And
that's mean Nexus?
Yeah, the Nexus, yeah. That's when I realized what that was. I was like, I don't even know what this... it's basically the minor leagues of the WWE is NXT. That's what when we're saying, like, guys would get called up, you know, you'd think that certain guys would appear in the Rumble and that didn't happen. So that's why we're saying these things. But, like, what you were saying, like, the big dream match. Like, years ago, basically what they did was, years ago, what was it, WrestleMania 20? They had Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. Goldberg beat Brock Lesnar, and now Goldberg's kind of come back.
They're both on their way out of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was kind of a bad match. Yeah. They threw Stone Cold in there to referee for no reason, so they kind of built it up. So then all the build-up around the pay-per-view
Stone
in November.
Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm. And now the build-up in November for the pay-per-view was those two guys returning to fight. And then Goldberg beat Brock in about, 10 seconds? And that was your big main event at that pay-per-view. So now they're kind of hinting at them fighting again at the pay-per-view in April, which doesn't make sense because Brock Lesnar's lost just about every time.
So have you two guys ever run the numbers to see what the numbers look like after these events they get, how much money they've made?
The money is ridiculous. I mean, it doesn't even matter. I mean, WrestleMania is their big, you know, it's like the Super Bowl. Like, everyone's going to watch, even if it's, you know, 100 to nothing. You know, you're still going to get the viewers. You're still going to get all those people paying for commercials and all that. I mean, WWE has got to make a ton of money around this, especially.
And people stay excited year-round.
Well, maybe not quite year-round.
I have been around the world on different army posts and hear guys excited, young and old, about wrestling all year-round. I'm like, are you guys for real?
Well, that's what it is. They have to find a way to make it interesting. You know,
Excited. I mean, you know, after the Super Bowl, people get mad, this and then it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But wrestling, these guys after the big thing, they excited, man. They on Saturday. It's Saturday in the summer, and they still talking about what happened and looking forward to everything else. I mean, like, really?
Well, I think part of it's the nostalgia. I mean, like you were saying, you know, you saw your wrestling event years ago. I mean, that's kind of what you related to. I mean, I watched wrestling in the 90s, watching WCW and WWF, and, you know, that's where I can tie back. So, like what you said, the big dream match, you know, two guys from the 90s coming back. You know, that'd be interesting to me. But let alone, you know, two guys who are in their 50s wrestling in the ring, that might be terrible to actually watch,
And what really solidified some of that stuff, because we used to go out and wrestle in the front yard and call, you know, I'm Randy Camacho, I'm this and that. You know, that's how we kept it going.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no idea, man. I had no idea this wrestling was going to turn into color TV.
Oh, yeah.
And then all this different fireworks and this and that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I thought it went away. I thought Dick the Bruiser died and it was gone.
Got bigger and bigger and bigger. And, I mean, we talked about Vince McMahon earlier. That's the reason why. I mean, look what his dad did for the company versus what Vince did for the company.
Yep.
I mean, you went from, I don't even know how often it was on, in what, the 60s and 70s? Then it became on every week.
We watched it on Saturday. That was it. We did that just to be cool, watch it on site. That was it, man. Everybody told me I'm going to house and watch. I'm gonna come over to your house and watch it. Other than that, man, I was back in the army in the 90s, you know, going back doing some training with young folks. I can't believe these dudes be either playing video games or watching wrestling.
And that's part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at all the. I mean, there's what, a game that comes out every year. We were talking about the mobile game earlier. Yeah. I mean, they have what, two of them now?
Yeah. WWE SuperCard.
Friday, Saturday night, man.
And WWE Champions, and they also got a 2K.
I'm getting a haircut. You know, when to go out and put a tie on and go see some ladies. They watching WWE this. I'm like, are you guys for real?
Oh yeah.
Then I found out with some girls in it. My barber, you know, I'm on the post getting a haircut from a soldier barber, you know, army barber. And, like, he's talking about it. I said, man, you guys got to be almost my age. I was like, wow, this must be fantastic.
Hey, you got to at least watch for the women, all right? There's been plenty of good-looking women in there over the years,
wow,
for sure. And like you were saying, just watching that on Saturdays, WWE Now, you got stuff on Monday, you have stuff on Tuesday, Wednesday, right? You have
205.
You have NXT and 205?
No, and 205 is Tuesday after SmackDown.
Okay. Thursday night SmackDown.
No, it's not Tuesday now. They changed it a bunch of times.
To prevent spoilers.
Mm-hmm. And so you got stuff, what, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, anything Thursday?
No.
But they do have the network, so they add stuff all the time. They have their own little...
And they're in talks with...
So it's our own little Netflix.
They're in talks with the European companies to get their stuff on the network to show their events.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you have essentially 4 or 5 days a week of weekly wrestling programming. Yeah.
Wow, that's
new weekly programming.
Talk about a dream match. I saw this trending thing on Facebook.
Yeah.
Fight with Conor McGregor now likely to happen amidst Floyd Mayweather.
Is likely to happen against Floyd?
Yeah. Floyd
that would be awesome.
Floyd versus McGregor. He's like, although he has retired, talks about with UFC champion McGregor has persisted largely due to amount of money such a spectacle would generate.
Oh, it's going to make a ton of money. I Mayweather's got to swallow, or not Mayweather, McGregor needs to swallow his pride and realize he's not making $100 million on this.
No.
Okay? Floyd Mayweather makes, unfortunately, I guess, about $100 million a fight. Like, it's stupid how much money he makes. He's able to promote it in such a mass fashion where, you know, he gets a part of the revenue from the pay-per-view. He gets a bonus for signing, for actually agreeing to the fight. You know, what is he, the money team? You know, they make some money off this. You know, everybody makes money.
Makes dollar cents, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And then you're going to tell me this guy who, I guess, gets paid by UFC, I'm sure he's not getting a percentage of the pay-per-views. Maybe he does at this rate, because I'm sure UFC is making a lot more money for his pay-per-views versus other people. But it's not going to be a 50-50 split. I mean, Pacquiao didn't even get a 50-50 split with Mayweather. So it's not going to be like that.
Wow.
What do you got?
The details to the trade.
Which are?
The Dulladan trade earlier mm-hmm. with the Mystics. Mystics had traded all-star center Stephanie Dolson, mm-hmm. Kaylee Cooper, last year's number all seventh overall pick, and this year's first-round pick in this year's draft, which is the number two overall.
Wow.
That's what the Bulls got to get for Jimmy Butler right there, baby. Bulls got to get a...
Follow the girls, huh? Yeah. Watch what the girls do,
That's
huh?
That's what the Bulls need to do. They need to get a bunch of girls. No, they need to get an all-star center, you know, the number two overall pick, you know, a bunch of stuff like that. I mean, the Bulls have too many holes, man. You know, before we get out of here, obviously, as we hear the music. They have too many holes, okay? If you're going to build around Jimmy Butler, it's going to take time, all right? You can't... You don't have a good player at the point guard, obviously. You don't have a good player at the three position. Unless you're going to put Jimmy Butler there. You don't have a playmaker at Wade's position, obviously. Okay, unless you're going to keep Wade, you're going to have to build up that team. You don't have enough assets to build that team.
That's not going to be a long-range team with Wade. He's going down. He's 35.
Oh, I think he's going to be gone after this year. Yeah. It's a player deal. I mean, if he doesn't want to come back, he's not going to come back. So
two more good years, maybe, possibly. That's it.
I guess the people are saying, you know, what, a $25 million deal he's making right now, so someone else has got to pay him that.
In and out.
Unless that money's not important, he wants to win. So I don't know. We'll see. Trade deadline's coming up here in about 3-4 weeks, like I said before. It's about that time. We're gonna get out of here. Once again, I'm Kevin Trigoni. You can check me out on Facebook and Twitter at Kevin Trigoni, TREGONING. Mr. Ward.
You can find me on Twitter at WarriorMW23. You can also find me running the K-Trade Show Twitter. At K-Trey Show, you can find me on Facebook at Franchise Matt Ward.
And Mr. Williams.
And you need anything done, you can go to the Williams Media Group, LLC, and we'll shoot that commercial and do all the media work for you.
There you go. All right, everybody, Super Bowl Sunday.
Woohoo!
Everybody's going to be watching. I know, I don't have to tell you. 3 to see, how about the Super Bowl? This
beers,
Sunday.
Beers and peanuts, baby.
The Bears are going to be watching too, so we're all going to be watching. I'll see
Put on our jerseys.
I'll see everybody next week. Bye, this is the K-Trey Show.